Coming up, an entry-level DSLR, another big-ass tablet, and something to put on your forehead in case you get lost a lot. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. For our special offer, go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and enter Before You Buy. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. Hey, welcome to Before You Buy, a Twit's product review show where we get all the latest and greatest stuff, including this new MacBook Air. I'll tell you about that in just a little bit. And we give it out to all of the people on the staff except for this MacBook Air, which I'll tell you about in a little bit. Jeff doesn't get it. And give them a chance to take a look at it. We've got some really interesting stuff to review. But let's start off with Tom Merritt. We gave him a new Lenovo, the IdeaTab Lynx, because he's very interested in these mobile platforms. Let's see what Tom Merritt of TNT had to say.
Hey, yeah, this is Tom, and I am taking a look at the Lenovo IdeaTab Lynx K3011. It's 11.1-inch Windows 8 tablet. Now, this sells for around $500, depending on where you find it. A little more, a little less. Manufacturer's retail price, I think, was $599, but it's definitely available for $499 most places you'll look. And I'm not sure who it's for. It's kind of an underpowered tablet. My finding in using this is that it does well on generally surfing the web. When I click on Internet Explorer, it takes me to the full screen experience, and yet it's got the full Windows 8 desktop. This is not Windows RT, so I can install things. You can see I installed Chrome, I installed Opera. I was able to install things and use them, but it's a little underpowered. So I could watch a YouTube video just fine on this, but if I started to want to do multiple tabs or really push the engine or install something like Audacity on it, it's not going to be able to handle that. And it really is suffering from the Windows 8 touchscreen interface problems. Now, those are Windows 8 problems. I'm not going to get into that. But one of the ways you overcome that problem is with performance and snappiness. And this just doesn't have enough snappiness to make it smooth to use that on-screen keyboard and run multiple programs at the same time. For the basic stuff, though, it worked just fine. If I want to check some email, if I want to read some news, if I don't want to install a few apps, maybe play some basic games, it's going to be fine for that. But there are better tablets available for a little more money, and there are cheaper tablets available that, frankly, are just as good as this performance-wise. So, honestly, I'm going to say don't buy. If you want a tablet that's 11.1 inches specifically, and you want it to be a little bit lightweight, and you don't care about it having the solidest build, it's a little bit plasticky, maybe this is for you, because it's not outrageously priced at $500, frankly. But you can get a smaller tab that does everything just as well for a lot cheaper, or you could get a more expensive tablet that has a lot more firepower underway and will allow you to go into a keyboard and actually use it as a desktop replacement. Now, there is a keyboard add-on you can buy for this, and we didn't test that out. But frankly, at the power level that it has, I'm not sure how much of an advantage that's going to be, except just maybe for typing, if you're going to do some basic word processing on it. Anyway, that's my Lenovo IdeaTab Lynx. Don't buy.
Don't buy, he says. All right. There's a lot. There's starting to be a lot of Windows 8 stuff out there. In fact, Shannon's got another Windows 8 tablet, a big one from Dell, in just a second. We'll take a look at. But first, let me remind you about our sponsors here, the great Stamps.com. If you do a lot of mailing in your business, I got a pro tip for you. Don't go to the post office. Why send an employee down there? They got to find parking, drive down there, get the stamps, come back. Or worse, if you've got a postage meter, get it charged up, pay all that extra money for a postage meter. Stamps.com eliminates the postage meter, completely eliminates trips to the post office. With Stamps.com, you could print your own U.S. postage right from your computer and your printer. No special inks, no special postage meter, just Stamps.com. And, man, they do stuff that just transforms how you do business. We love Stamps.com. All the mailing is done with that. You could print your company logo right onto the label for shipping labels or onto the envelope. Your mail looks professional. It looks slick. It'll pull the address from your address book, from QuickBooks, from eBay, Etsy, Amazon, PayPal, whatever site you're using. It'll print out the forms you need, too, if you use, return receipt, international, certified mail, all done automatically by Stamps.com. Import addresses, use cost codes for customer or department. Automatic address verification. Then you even get discounts you can't get at the post office. Stamps.com is fantastic. And you don't have to take my word for it. I want you to try it absolutely free today. We got a no-risk trial offer. Now, if you go to the front page, you'll see an $80 value. Don't do that one. Click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. I want to give you more free postage. Just enter our offer code before you buy, and you'll get a $110 bonus offer. You get a USB scale. Actually, this you have to pay for. This is not free. You pay shipping and handling, about $5. But they'll make it up for you by giving you a $5 supply kit. And, of course, you get a free month of Stamps.com. And we'll even throw in $55 in free postage to use over the first few months of your account. Now, that's a really good deal. Stamps.com. If you, not for the home user, but if you do mailing in your business, invoices, marketing mailers, packages, you got to use Stamps.com. It's really the only way to go. I don't know why you wouldn't. Go to Stamps.com. Click the microphone there in the upper right-hand corner. Enter the offer code before you buy for a $110 no-risk trial. Stamps.com. We thank them so much for their support. All right, this thing is kind of interesting. We got Anthony Nielsen to give us a review of this. It's called the Stick and Find, and it was a Kickstarter project. Let's see what Anthony thought.
Hey, I'm Anthony Nielsen, editor here at Twit, and I'll be reviewing the Stick and Find. The Stick and Find is a small tracking device that you could stick on pretty much anything that you want to keep track of, and then can later find it using your smartphone. The unit connects to your phone using Bluetooth 4.0, the replaceable battery that lasts about a year, has an LED lit ring, a small speaker, an adhesive back, and comes with a keyring mounting plate. And that's it for the device itself. To show you how to actually find something, I'll just add them to my keys. Give my friend Brian. All right, so now I'm going to go find them. Start by launching the app, going to radar. So the sticker has a range of about 100 feet, and hopefully once we're close enough, you'd actually start seeing it. Okay, looks like we're starting to pick it up. Once it's in range, you could hit page and it starts flashing and beeping, so you could find it a lot more easier. There are a few more modes that can be useful. One is called Virtual Leash, where once it's out of range, you could have it alert your phone. You'd get a notification, or the tag would beep, or both. There's also Find It, where you get an alert on your phone once it is within 100 feet. Pros and cons. Pros, they're very small. They're about the size of two quarters stacked. You can connect up to 20 of them on one device. And the battery life is pretty good, lasting up to a year with regular use. Cons? The distance shown on the radar can be wildly inaccurate depending on the radio interference of the area. The speaker is a little bit on the quiet side, and currently it only works with iOS and Android devices, so no Windows 8 phones. Try buy, don't buy? Well, if you spent more than half an hour in the last year looking for your television remote, I'd say $50 for two of these guys is totally worth it.
Well, there you go. Anthony Nielsen, who is, I think, one of our... Is he our newest editor? I think he is, Tony.
Yes, he is. Yes.
Our newest editor. We welcome him to the crew, and a nice job. Brian, you got to hide it better next time, though, okay? All right. Hey, let's talk to Shannon Morse, our producer, who's back from E3. Nice job on E3, by the way.
Thank you so much.
Did you have fun?
So much fun. Yeah,
it's not your first E3.
It is, yeah.
It was.
That was my first E3.
Oh, so it's a pretty wild trade show. Much more interesting than even CES, right?
Yeah. It was super fun.
Especially if you're a gamer.
You definitely have to plan out ahead of time, like plan meetings, because you can't, there's no way you can get in without that.
Well, no good trade show would be easy to get into. easy to get around at. So, what was your favorite game?
It would probably be Beyond Two Souls.
Beyond? Beautiful. I don't know about that one. Yeah.
Beautiful. Ellen Page is the main character.
Love her. Yeah.
Yeah. She did the voice acting, and she looks exactly like
Oh, interesting.
Character. Yeah.
It's console or a PC?
It's PS3, I believe.
PS3, okay.
Yeah. And it was just gorgeous.
You could see Shannon and Chad and Father Robert. who else was there? Lamar Wilson.
Yeah.
Do our review of E3. It's on our Twitch specials feed. Padre showed up. Yeah. So did I, Justine, a few others.
Yes, she did.
It's Twitch special number 162 if you want to watch it. There it is. E3 2013. So, Shannon, you did not bring this on the road with you, I don't think.
No, I left this at home. But I have to say, I moved this weekend, and this was actually really handy.
Because right.
I have not set up my computer yet.
Okay.
I've been lazy. So I brought this home, and I've been using this around my house. This is the Dell XPS 18, and it is huge, right?
It really, if you put it on the stand and with the keyboard, then it's an all-in-one computer, kind of.
Yes. It is. So the way they are marketing this is as a tablet / all-in-one PC.
Okay.
The reason for that is because it comes with a handy-dandy little keyboard and a little mouse. And if you want to spend $1,349, you also get this nice little dock that it goes on. And you can plug the charger straight into the back of this, into the charger, so you can charge it through the dock instead of just charging through the tablet itself.
Cool.
So when I first got this, I thought, I don't know if it actually has a battery in it. Let's try this out. It does have a battery. Lasts about 5 hours, so definitely not long.
Five hours, all right.
But it's pretty good for, you know, the size and the specs.
Yeah, think about it. You're not taking that on an airplane.
Exactly.
I mean, that's going to be near a power source.
If you want to, you can buy this $30 case
look at that.
For it.
Yeah.
It fits very well, and you can carry around 5 pounds if you really want to.
You know, if you're doing sales presentations or something like that,
presentations
of some kind, that if you couldn't be sure there was a projector, that might be a good choice.
So it could definitely be pretty handy for somebody like that. It has really good specs for its price, too. It starts at $899, and it goes up to about $1,500.
It's not expensive.
They just announced the new third-generation i7 one, which is not the fourth generation, unfortunately, but it is an i7. The one I tested out is an i5. And it worked very well. One thing I really like about this is it's full HD, so you're not getting a terrible resolution with it. It's 1920 by 1080, and it's IPS, of course. And it also has really nice interiors. So you got 8 gigs of RAM, got a 500 gig hard drive, and a 32 gig solid state, so it boots up quickly, and it runs Windows 8 really well. I was impressed, actually.
Perfect time for you to have this during your move.
Yeah, exactly. So I could take this from my bedroom, and I could take it downstairs and sit on the couch when I was, you know, lazy from unpacking all night. And
portable enough to move around with it. Yeah,
and I can boot up YouTube on it. The sound quality is very nice. It's pretty loud whenever you're in a quiet area. And, of course, the screen is beautiful. It's made out of the build quality on the back of this.
Is that plastic? What is it? It's aluminum.
It's aluminum, yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
You know, I love the Dell XPS 1s. This is a smaller than that. It's only an 18-inch, but
it's
still
much smaller.
Nice.
But it's very impressive. And it also has a couple of USB 3.0 jacks on the side of it. Yeah. Has SD card space in case you need to, you know, load up your photos or whatnot. I did take some photos on here. They weren't that pretty. So
With the camera? It has its own camera?
It does. So there's a webcam on the front. It's a 720p camera.
That's more for Skyping than it is.
Bad pictures.
Yeah,
see, look at that. Terrible.
Yeah.
Grainy.
Yeah.
The photo quality is not
person?
Good. I don't know. She looks like a nut job. What in the world?
Not very good photos.
Yeah. Very blurry.
That's not what you'd be crazy to. You might people want to say you're nuts when you're holding this thing up. Let me take a picture.
Here, let me take a photo of you.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was not very good as far as the camera quality goes, but the build quality, the hardware and software in this is very nice. And it also has a couple
of little
stands.
Feet.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have the stand with
you.
Yeah, again, that makes me think this is intended for presentations and
definitely.
Stuff like that.
Or if you have little kids and you don't play games, so you
can that's
around.
Neat. Will it rotate around?
Yep.
Oh.
So it switches around.
That's kind of neat for drawing, maybe, things like that.
Yeah, so I can do that if I want to. I could, you know, set it in my bed and watch TV
have
shows on
it. Have breakfast on it, yeah.
Yeah, have breakfast on it, of course. That's
pros
one
and
thing
cons.
I definitely like. My pros and cons with this are it's a very competitive price, starting at $899 for the i3 version, going up to about $1,500. A lot cheaper than that huge one that you tested out, the Lenovo
Idea
Center Horizon.
And a better screen resolution,
Much better screen resolution. You can only see the pixels if you get really up close.
Right.
Nobody's going to do that.
Right.
Great build quality. Really enjoyed that it has feet on the bottom in case you don't want to pay for the big stand. Really
feet
like
should
that
always be on
the
bottom, never on the top.
Of course. And my cons, Honestly, I didn't have that many cons.
You really liked it.
It was very fun to use. I used it around my house. It was great if I didn't want to set up my computer.
Yeah.
The only con I had was that it was heavy. At 5 pounds, I didn't necessarily want to move it around.
It's not a laptop replacement. It's
exactly.
It's a portable desktop, I guess.
It's a portable desktop all-in-one PC.
Not quite even a tablet, really. It's a little too big for
me. So, surprisingly, I honestly thought I was going to hate this thing, but after using it for a month in the office and then taking it home this weekend, I got to say it's definitely a buy.
Great.
I mean, if you're in the market for something like this, it's a buy.
It seems like that's how Windows 8 should be, frankly. Touch and kind of tablet-like if you want it that way. That's great. That's the Dell XPS 18. Starts at $900, goes up to $1,450 depending on how you configure it.
It does.
Thank you, Shannon. Shannon Morse produces Before You Buy, but she also is on Hack 5.
I am, yes.
And also with Darren Kitchen, the host of ThreatWire.
Yeah, which, we've been talking about Prism lately.
I bet.
Crazy stuff.
I bet. Lots to talk about there. You can catch that at youtube.com/techfeed.
Thank you.
Thanks, Shannon. Now let's go across the table to Tony Wang, our editor-in-chief, who's here. Whose head is that on your T-shirt?
I have no idea.
Just a Tony's always had the most interesting T-shirts. It's good to have you. You said, you want to review this, Leon? I said, no, Tony, you're our photographer. You're the serious guy. It's the Pentax K5-2. It's a almost entry-level DSLR.
Yeah, almost.
It's $1,000, so it's it's competing with some very good cameras like the Sony NEX-7,
yes,
the Nikon D5300, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us about it.
Oh, I actually have a review recorder.
Well, that is even better.
Yeah.
Roll that tape.
I'm Tony Wayne for Total TV, and Before You Buy, and today I'm reviewing the Pentax K5-2. Specs-wise, the Pentax K5-2 has a 16.3 megapixel sensor, and it is APS-C, of course. The biggest difference for Pentax K5-2 that makes it stand out is its shake reduction system, which is basically its image stabilization system that's built into the body instead of having it in the lens. The camera lets you shoot in PEF format, which is Pentax's RAW format, or you can actually shoot directly to DNG. My kit lens for this review, Nick, comes with an 18-135mm lens. It's a very nice range for an entry-level camera, and if you're using it for a general purpose shooting or street photography, it's a very useful range. With the new display technology, it's like you can touch your picture that's on your camera. The con of this display is that there's no swivel, so you can't flip the screen around forward facing. The rest of the specs on this camera is competitive with other camera brands, and the auto-focusing system has been improved on this K5, and it's an 11-point system, but it's got 9 cross-types, and auto-focusing is way faster than Canon. It even performs well in low light with the help of the auto-focusing assist light. So pro of the K5-2, you have image stabilization built into the body of the camera, so you don't have to buy and spend more money on every single lens you buy for that function. The build quality is really great, and it's weather sealed. Con of this camera, to switch to the movie mode, you have to press and turn the dial, and it's really hard to do quickly when you're taking photos. So it's hard to toggle between photo and movie mode. Another con is that the autofocus assist light is actually really close to the shutter button. So a lot of times I find myself blocking the light with my finger.
Buy, try, or don't buy for the K5 Mark II, I would give it a buy. If you're looking for an easy-to-use, entry-level, mid-range APS-C sensor DSLR, and you don't mind not having all the manual focusing control you need for manual focus, I would recommend this camera. I'm Tony for Total TV, and Before You Buy, and this is the Pentax K5-2.
Yeah, and I think especially compared to some of the other entry-level DSLRs, the Canon T5i,
that
this might be a good choice. Pentax has always made some pretty good cameras, and people just don't know about
them. Yeah, they're like the underdog. I mean, I never really had that much time with a Pentax until now. I mean, the last time I touched a Pentax was high school.
Right, and it was a film camera.
It was a film camera.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, I'm very impressed.
I agree.
Better build quality, image stabilization built into the body.
Very nice. And that's an APS-C sensor, so...
Yep.
For $1,000, you're getting a pretty good camera.
Yep.
Thank you, Tony. Tony Wang is our editor-in-chief here at Twit and a great photographer. Where do you put your photos? On Flickr?
Google Plus.
Google Plus.
Yeah.
All right. So just follow Tony Wang. Circle Tony Wang.
Circle.
Plus, you'll see all his shots. Hey, before I get to my review of the new MacBook Air, the 2013 MacBook Air that Apple just announced last week, let's talk a little bit about Audible.com. You know me. I'm a big fan. Audible is a bookstore of over 100,000, not just books, but performances, lectures, plays, radio shows. It is an audio treasure trove. Of course, almost all the latest books come out on Audible. In fact, Neil Gaiman's latest just came out today, and I'm so excited about this. I haven't listened to it, but Andy Nocco was talking about it on MacBreak Weekly. Neil himself reads it, and he is one of the best readers of his own stuff. So just an example of, I tell you what, I'm going to give you a free book and you can decide for yourself. I know sometimes people go, I don't know if I'd like an audiobook, but, you know, am I going to pay attention? Is it going to be the same as reading it? If you go to audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy, we'll get you that gold account. That's the book a month subscription, which is a very good one to get. Your first month, though, is free. Your first book is free. You can cancel anytime in that first 30 days, pay nothing, but keep the book forever. That would be an excellent one. Can you look up that Neil Gaiman book there, Brian? I can't remember the name of it, and I want to recommend it. G-A-I-M-A-N. N-E-I-L-G-A-I-M-A-N. You know what? It'll find it pretty quick because he's very popular. I think that's... how'd you find Dan Brown instead? Oh, you spelled Neil wrong. N-E-I-L. Dan Brown? Wait a minute. That's not Dan. That's not Neil Gaiman. Neil is a writer of fantasy and science fiction. He's done a whole series called Neil Gaiman Presents, which is for Audible, some of the books that he didn't write. But go to the top one there. That's it. The Ocean at the End of the Lane. And I hear this is a very new, very different style novel from Neil Gaiman. Look, if you haven't listened to Neverwhere, American Gods, many of his greatest books, they're all on Audible.
Nobody came to my 7th birthday party.
I love his voice.
There was a table laid with jellies and trifles with a party hat beside each place and a birthday cake with 7 candles.
A lot of times you don't want authors to read the books, but Neil is one. In fact, he doesn't read all his books on Audible.com, and I wish he did. He's the best. Neil Gaiman's newest, The Ocean at the End of the Lane, that's just one of many, 100,000, in fact, books that you can get for free. You got to pick the first one. That's the hardest part. Audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. They play back on your iPhone, your Android phone, your Windows phone. They've got special apps for all three phones that really make it easy to browse your entire library and listen at any time. I'm just a major Audible listener. I listen all the time. Audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. Thank you for your support, Audible. Thank you for supporting Audible. I know if you listen to podcasts, you'll love it. So Apple last week at the Worldwide Developers Conference announced one new computer, a new MacBook Air, based on the fourth generation Intel chip, the Haswell. And here it is. Of course, I had to order it right away. This is the 13-inch. They did 11 and 13-inch MacBook Airs. And if you look at it right off the top, you might say, well, gosh, how is that different? Because it does look very much the same as previous generations of MacBook Air. In fact, even down to the ports, it's got two USB 3 ports, the new MagSafe 2 connector. There's a headphone jack. On the other side, a mini display port, which is I'm a big fan of. Those work very nicely. Can get HDMI out of there, too, with a converter. Another USB, that's an SDXC card reader. You might have noticed if you have a very, very sharp eye, there's a slight difference here. There's two, you can't see it, there's two little tiny dots, dual array microphones. The reason is they're doing the same thing on the iPhone and the MacBook Retina where they there you can see it. Look at that. That one of them is for noise canceling. And actually, I found this on the MacBook Retina. It's pretty much the same on this MacBook Air. The sound quality is quite good. In fact, I don't feel the need to use headsets on making phone calls and so forth using Skype with this. It really does give you quite good sound. Nobody's ever complained. There are some differences. The battery is about 8% larger, just a slight bit. They are doing a big difference in battery life, and that's really the thing that people are paying attention to right now. On the 11-inch MacBook Air, Apple's claiming 9 hours of battery life. On this 13, 12 hours. I haven't had it long enough to really give you an accurate reading, but I have to say I've used only a quarter of the available power on here, and I've been using it quite heavily. Apple says 6.5 hours remaining, which is slightly less than 12 hours. I do think you're going to get that kind of a battery life. And all the other reviewers who've had it for a little bit longer are claiming excellent battery life, more than 12 hours in some cases in normal use. So that's pretty impressive. It also has a much faster SSD. I was very surprised to find out when I benchmarked it that it was the fastest SSD I'd ever used, except for one on my Mac Pro using the PCI Express bus. And there's a reason for that. Apple has moved their solid state drive off of the SATA bus, and on the new MacBook Airs, they're on the PCI Express bus, and that makes a very, very big difference. We're talking 600 megabytes a second read and write on this thing. Very fast. They offer it in a stock configuration of 128 gig hard drive, 8 gigabytes of RAM. That's an SSD hard drive at a starting price of $1,099. These are a little less expensive, actually, than the MacBook Airs of previous years. And there's one thing that you might wonder about. The processor speed is a little bit slower. This is a maxed out MacBook Air. So I put an i7 in it running at only 1.7 gigahertz, although it will step up to faster speeds. Slightly slower processor speeds on here, giving you slightly slower benchmark results. But I have to tell you, you won't notice the difference. And one of the benefits, of course, because it's using Haswell, is much, much better battery life. And I think that this is plenty fast enough. However, the slower processor speed and the desire for increased battery life do mean that we're not going to get the best screen resolution possible. This is, not a Retina display. It's 1440 by 900, which is nowadays, I think, a little low for a 13-inch notebook. Apple has really defined this category. The MacBook Air was the first ultrabook before Intel even thought of the phrase ultrabook, and all the other ultrabooks really are copying the MacBook Air. It is still a gorgeous design, thin, light, very portable. And, of course, the unibody aluminum means it feels robust in the hand. It doesn't torque or twist. This is, you know, the Cadillac, the class act of thin and light notebooks, and remains so, easily the best trackpad on the market. And that's another thing that's missing here is there's no touch screen, as you'd find on many of these Windows 8 laptops. But Apple's done such a good job with the trackpad and the trackpad gestures that many folks say, I don't mind because I'm getting, the kind of touch-responsive experience just using the trackpad alone. I'm not sure I agree with that. I'd love to see a Retina display on this. I'd love to see a touch screen. It is a lower resolution than, for instance, the comparably priced Acer S7, which has a 1080p display. And I notice it. You know, I use so many Retina devices now that I really can see the difference in terms of the screen resolution. It's not exactly horrible, but it's just not as crisp as I'd like it. So let me, but I have to tell you, amazing battery life. Amazing throughput on the SSD drives. The reboot is just seconds. It feels perfectly responsive. And, of course, you wouldn't maybe with a Retina display be able to push these pixels around as fast as I am. It's just these are important distinctions to know about. The price starts at $1,099. As configured here, this is about $1,450 because I did get the top of the line, put an i7 in it, put 8 gigs of RAM in it. So you can build to order and get it to be a lot more expensive. Pros on this, incredible battery life, best trackpad in the market, best form factor. This is the standard setter in this market. There's just nothing better out there. And the SSD drives are the fastest I've seen on anything. This thing, it does not slow down when you're accessing the hard drive. Cons, well, it's pricier than some PCs. The CPU is slightly slower, which some might take offense at. And I am a little disappointed by the lack of a Retina display. It's not that I don't understand why. It's kind of that's how you get the battery life and the speed. But 1440 by 900 is kind of a low resolution these days. However, no question in my mind, this is an absolute buy. Apple has taken what is probably the best product in this category and made it just a little bit better. I expect to see even more improvement in battery life when the next generation of OS X Mavericks comes out with some features tuned specifically for the Haswell chipset in here. So you're going to see more, believe it or not, more than 12, 13, 14 hours of battery life on something like this. This is the ideal, as Nilay Patel said, the ideal notebook for taking to the coffee shop and staying all day. A definite buy for the 2013 MacBook Air. I love it. Well, that's it for our show today. I want to thank all of our reviewers, Tom Merritt and Tony Wang, Shannon Morse, and Anthony Nielsen. Thank you all for reviewing your products. Thank you for watching. We put all these reviews on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy, so you can watch individual reviews or tell your friends if there's something that they're interested in buying. Oh, yeah, Tony Wang reviewed that Pentax. You might want to take a look at the review. Again, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. You can email Shannon with ideas for other products you'd like reviewed. We're always interested. BYB@twit.tv. We tape this show. Tape? Yeah, I think tape. We use tape still, Tony?
Yeah, VCR.
Yeah, VCR. We put it on the VCR. We record, we copy the bits of this show every Tuesday afternoon about 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time. That says, let's see, 4 plus 12 is 6 plus 8 is 24. Right at midnight, UTC. If you want to watch us around the world, we love it when you watch live. If not, don't forget, on-demand audio and video, always available after the fact, not only on YouTube, but on our own page, twit.tv/BYB. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for being here. Remember, you got to watch before you buy. See you next time.